Today is the 9th of December. We start today to learn about the Brahmanet Sutra. Truthfully, know the liturgy of the Bodhisattva precepts, because most of you will receive the precept. But before that, you know, we just want you to understand more about what the Bodhisattva precepts are. If you have any question, ask about it. Before we begin the lesson, we recite the name of Buddha 3 times. Namo Bonasu Thika Mauni Phat. Namo Bonasu Thika Mauni Phat. Namo Bonasu Thika Mauni Phat. Okay, we try to go through all of them because the preface. And the introduction are very good also for you to understand what it is. These are the translation by the Sutra Translation Committee and by the Upasaka. It's like you, a lay person. Mr. Mingtang is very good. Preface. After I informed assembly of my intention, assembly being the collection, the gathering of people, of my intention to lecture on the Brahmanet Sutra, a laywoman asked, this is told by Master Yen Pen, that is Yen Boy. He's a big master of China, but he usually, you know, he lectures in Singapore. This is lecture, no, he lectures in Singapore. A laywoman asked, Master, I have not yet received the Bodhisattva precepts. Would you still allow me to attend the lecture and listen to your explanation? All these precepts, whenever the monks, the nuns, and even the Bodhisattva, they sit down and recite the precept, they don't allow people who have not received the precept in. See, you have your parents, whenever they recite the precept, they let you out. They don't let you sit in and listen to them, because that is in the regulation. So they say that, well, if there's a rule like that, so why do you explain this to me now? I have not received the precept yet. Right? It's like you nowadays. It's the thing that, well, I have not received the precept, so why do you let me read this? I reply, that is the master, of course, by all means. If I were lecturing on the Bhikkhu, Bhikkhuni precept, that is the monk and the nuns, you would not be permitted to attend, even if you request it with utmost sincerity. Why? Because, you see, the precept by themselves are no big deal. You can go on the web, you know, you can buy the book, you know, you can read all of them. 250, what are they? Or 358, what are they? You know. So why? Because whenever they recite the precept, before they recite, usually they ask, now, if anyone of you know, have committed any sin, please make note. That is why. Because if you are lay people, and you sit down and you say that, and a nun or a monk, you know, say, the other day, you know, I ate meat, or the other day, you know, I had some money, I keep it to myself, or I went to the movies, or I had this guy myself who do something. Oh, now, if you hear the monk or the nun like that, you will lose respect to other. So only that part, you know, you're not supposed to attend. Because the infractor, that is the one, you know, who commits the sin or the fault, they expose it to ask for like a pardon. And usually in Buddhism, you know, whenever they expose like that, they are pardoned. But then, like people like me, see, when I hear, ooh, I thought, you know, he was good, but he was not good at all. So that is the reason why. So that is the reason why, you know, they not supposed to. However, as far as the Bodhisattva precepts are concerned, I hope that you and all your friends can come and listen. The more people, the better. Listening to the precepts not only does not violate the rule of discipline, it in fact helps to awaken the body mind and develop the precepts of Buddha nature inherent in all of us. Okay, that means you're not supposed, you know, to listen to the confession of the one who have already received the precept because they made some sins, made some fault. Truthfully, no, there was no sin in Buddhism, right? But we just say sin. They make some infraction, some fault. They have some default. Now they say that, well, I think that this is not good. I don't do it anymore. And then, you know, the assembly will pardon them. But if we have not received that, we might think something bad, right? But in the Bodhisattva precepts, usually it's easier, you will learn later. They are like, you know, the grave precept and the lighter precept, secondary precept. The grave precept, you know, we have 10 of them. And the lighter precept, that is worked upon by secondary precepts, are 48. All by this, right? Don't worry. Don't be worried about them first, because we will try to explain to you. And what are these rules? Of course, you know, these, you know, are like a stimulant for us to practice. Listening to the precept, or not violate the rule of discipline. Because why? Because first, you know, this is a sutra. See it? Brahmanet Sutra. And the sutra, can anyone, you know, forbid you to read them? And in fact, you know, you have to encourage people to read the sutra, right? And then they take one part of the sutra and then they divide the recitation. So the first part, you know, you're not supposed to attend. But the part of all the sutra, you have to read. And in fact, you know, it is good for you. Because, like the master say here, to awaken the body-mind. The body-mind. Body-mind is what we call by bodhisiddha. The bodhisiddha is what is the basis of Mahayana Buddhism. That is, you know, what we practice now. There are different kinds of Buddhism. Some people, in fact, you know, most of European people, whenever they go to one religion, they just want enlightenment or deliverance for themselves. In fact, you know, even us, most of us, you know, just come, I want to get something. Like, you know, if I receive the precept, I'm supposed to have to receive a certificate, and then something say that, ooh, I receive a name too, Dhamma name. So some people think, ooh, good. So next master come, I ask for another one. So I get two Dhamma names. And the third one come, I have three Dhamma names. And some people know just, yeah, some people need that. And they have a whole bunch of Dhamma names. But it's not serious, right? Because they don't understand it right. So you see that bodhisattva, what does it mean? Body mind. Body mind means the mind for the body. Body means wisdom. You remember that, right? Body means wisdom. Wisdom. What kind of wisdom? In Mahayana, we have two things in it. In Vietnamese or Chinese, they say 8 words. That is, first, to attend Buddhahood. And second, to deliver, to have deliver all sentient beings. It's easy, right? You attend Buddhahood and you deliver all sentient beings. Usually, you know, whenever we practice in some kind of religion, and most kind of religion, we just want to attend something for ourselves only. The other kind, okay, we can help a little bit, tell them to go to temple or to the church or thing. But then we don't want them, you know, to be delivered before us. It's different from Mahayana Buddhism. In Mahayana Buddhism, we see that everyone, you know, has a Buddha nature. Every sentient being has Buddha nature. So everyone, you know, will become Buddha. Whenever we kill them, whenever you steal them, whenever we insult them, we destroy the Buddha nature in them and in us also. That is the reason why, you know, we have all these precepts. But you see, that it helps to awaken the body mind and develop the precept of the Buddha nature inherent in all of us. That is the Buddha nature we have more. We might not see it or we might not understand it. But when we follow these precepts, when we study about the precepts and try to follow them, we cannot keep all of them. If you keep all of them, okay. I take an example. See, because a lot of people misunderstand about that. Are you in college yet? Andy? Yeah?
Not.
You? Nearly, right? So you have a plan, right? Like, okay, suppose you want to be a doctor. Just say, you want to be a doctor. So if you want to be a doctor, what you should do first? You should go to school, get a BS, right? Get a BS and then take the MCAT. See, because if you want to take the MCAT, you're supposed to have the BS. The MCAT, you have to take that. If you pass it, the medical school, you know, will accept you in. So now, you know, you go to junior college or to Ken or to like UNF or to where. And then you say, Mom, give me money so I can pay for this BS. I will become a Bachelor of Science. Of course, you know, you are a freshman. But you want to be, right? So you get this receipt and you show, Mom, see, I will become a doctor. Big deal, right? But it is your way to the doctor. Because if you don't subscribe now, I mean, don't inscribe now, you don't go to the college now, how can you become a doctor? So this is the way to become a doctor. This is the same thing. You take this precept. This is the way for you to become bodhisattva. It does not mean that whenever I take this precept, I am bodhisattva. Look at me. Right? Of course, you know, you can, because this is what they call by the stimulation for you. But you are not bodhisattva yet. So that is the reason why, you know, a lot of American people, when after they receive this, they receive a T-shirt. You know, a T-shirt with the word on it, Bodhisattva in training. Bodhisattva in training. Of course, that's what they are now. You see, all these people. See, Bodhisattva in training. Of course, some might become Bodhisattva already. We don't know. Some of you might already be Bodhisattva already, if you have the Bodhisattva mind, the Bodhisattva. We don't know. So, you understand what I mean, right? So if you receive this precept, that does not mean that you have to observe completely these 58 precepts. If you infract them, you know, you go to hell. No, nothing can do. I said, oh, no, it's not. It's like, you know, you go to medical school, even medical school. Now, you know, you go to like your college, right? Some of you will graduate. Some of you might not. Some of you know get straight A, but most of you will not. Some of you will fail a lot of things. And even whenever you get into medical school, you still kill a lot of people. I mean, you know, not really, because the elders, the other doctors will cover for you. They show you the way, and if you make a mistake, they correct it. That is the way for training. Bodhisattva is the same thing. So that is the reason why you have to have an assembly of bodhisattva. That's why, you know, these people, they have to recite the bodhisattva precept every 2 weeks. That remind them, and then all the people, you know, we are trying to remind them like this. And that changed the mind, you see. That changed a lot. So, in the ancient sutras, the story is told of a group of 500 seafaring merchants who, having reached a treasure trove of immense proportions, opt to return home empty-handed. This feeling has at times been our own, as over the last few years we have attended several precept-giving ceremonies, lay as well as bodhisattva, and notice a certain reluctance among the participants to take these precepts. These words are from the translator, Mr. Ming Tang. He is also a bodhisattva in precept. He already received the bodhisattva in precept. And he said that, well, in a lot of these ceremonies, a lot of people are reluctant to take these precepts. They are afraid. Oh, I cannot keep them. Oh, I have to eat meat. Without meat, no, I'm dying. Yeah, a lot of people are, I have to have a beer after work. I don't have a beer, I die. Or I have to smoke. But of course, no smoking in the reception. So you see this? This is the thinking of the translator. In later conversations, we realized that this feeling stemmed from two causes: lack of understanding of the precepts and fear of not being able to live up to them. So these, you know, we understand, we can, like, you know, overcome them now. Lack of understanding the precepts, so we will learn, no problem. And fear of not being able to live up to them. Well, what, so what? Bodhisattva in training, right? So why? Because if you are in training, well, you will make mistakes. So don't, you are not afraid of it anymore. Fear of not being able to live up to them. So you understand now, right? The worry. Although the second reason, the fear of breaking the precept once received, is genuine. It is largely unwarranted. See? Why? Because you are in training. In the first place, according to many teachers, the lay and bodhisattva precepts may be taken selectively, with the disciple himself choosing which to take and which to omit. Because whenever you take, you have to take. Five precepts. You will commit some fault. You will make some infraction. But if it is 58, you have to take 58. Don't think that, well, I cannot do it because I still work in the slaughterhouse. If sometimes you have to work for a living. And then some slaughterhouse, you know, hire you and say, hey, you come here. And instead of going stealing, you know, or selling drugs, you know, in downtown, you go and get a job in slaughterhouse. And you say, oh, no, this, you know, in fact, I'd rather die. I'd rather die of hunger. No. See, because if you don't do it, somebody else will do it. And then, you see, these animals are destined, are raised to be slaughtered. They cannot escape it. You see, if you don't want it, become vegetarian. You don't eat them. Where can they sell the meat? If they can't sell the meat, they cannot raise them anymore. They will have to curb on them. See? So you will infract them. But these, you know, are like smaller, the secondary precepts. Secondary, these fears are no different from those of a promising student who dreams of becoming a doctor, yet refuse to register for medical school lest he fail, because he is afraid that he will fail. He will not get straight A or anything like this. But that's stupid. He goes to medical school. If he fails, at least, you know, he still has the BS. He becomes, you know, someone, researcher, some scientist, or he can do something else. Even, you know, if he cannot graduate from medical school, he can go do something else. Besides, see, still, even if he were to fail, he could always try again. In any case, he would be exposed to medical knowledge useful to him in later life. That is very good. So even, you know, if you want to become a doctor and you fail, you know, and whenever you get the MCAT, you didn't pass it. You didn't get enough grade, or no medical school will accept you. You still have some medical knowledge. If you still want it, you try again, right? Next year. Or next year, nobody say that you cannot try forever. Or you can go to to a foreign country and get training somewhere. If you really want to become a doctor, you will. Bodhisattva is the same thing. So if you make some fault, you can correct them. Thus, he could only benefit and would have nothing to lose, nothing to fear. So that's the reason why you should receive the Bodhisattva precepts. Somebody say that, well, you're too young to receive it. Because you learn later on. Why? See, because inside, whenever you learn, these precepts can even be given to crazy people, to animals, as long as they understand it. Of course, you know, it's really difficult for animals to understand them, right? But you don't know, because you know you might be reborn as an animal. The other reason for the participants' hesitation is more difficult to address. Now, this is the reason why, you know, some people don't want to get this precept, to receive this precept. How can a person agree to abide by something he does not know, except perhaps out of overwhelming faith in a rare gift in today's world, to say the least? That is, you see, before, they didn't even know about this. Whenever they see other people, you receive Bodhisattva precept? You see, this woman, she can receive this precept, and how come I cannot receive it? Oh, I have to inscribe it. Although I don't know anything, or some people say, oh, how dare you receive this precept? You are not good at it. That's wrong too, right? Because they have not learned. Now you try to learn them. It is in part to address that need that we have undertaken the present translation of the Brahmana Sutra, a major Mahayana text which explains the Bodhisattva precepts. These are the most altruistic, you understand what I mean, right? And that is not good to all the people. And most exalted of all precepts. That is, you know, the most praised, the highest one, and the best one. They are the precept of the mind itself. Now I'm getting confused, right? The precept of the mind itself. What is the mind? Usually whenever you say the mind, you see that it's inside the brain, right? You really know the mind in the siddha. Siddha means something, you know, to produce your consciousness. You remember about that, right? Something which produced your consciousness. So what it was sprout from the mind, you know, controlling the world, controlling your world and control the world. So if these precepts, you know, are cursed in your mind, you can only do good things. To keep this precept is to transcend. Greed, transcend means overcome. Greed, anger, and delusion. Delusion means ignorance. And return to our self nature through mind. That is the Buddha nature. On wisdom and on compassion. You understand all these words, right? The healthy, happy, innocent life, which is our birthright, will then materialized. This liberating message underlies the entire Brahmanic Sutra. Okay. In the course of this translation, we have consumed or listening to take off the dozen of annotated versions, explication of the sutra, including three full-length commentaries. One of them is the one of the Master Yan Pei, Yan Bo Yan. It's very good. We acknowledge our indebtedness in particular to the commentaries of our Master Pranyasudi and Dr. Le Groot, who is a Christian. Yeah, he is a Christian. Dr. Groot is a Christian. A lot of these scholars, they are Christian. And they study Buddhism to promote the Christianity, to try to combat Buddhism. So you guys, young guys, be careful. You have to learn. Because if you don't understand them, all the people, they are very smart. All the people, they are very smart, and they try to convert you. And if you don't learn enough about Buddhism, you cannot combat them. You cannot argue with them. You cannot even keep your faith or your mind, because they are very smart. Mr. Dr. Groot, he's a Christian. And respectfully recommend the commentaries of Andrew Master Yan Pei, Yan Boy, and Andrew Master Hui Xian. He's a monk. Here then is the full text of Brahmanic Sutra. We hope that by studying it, perhaps a few readers may discover karmic affinity with Bodhisattva precept. In all the world, previous life, you already have some things about Buddhism. So now you are attracted. Your dad is your mom. Probably you guys have been in previous life related to one another by some kind of means. So now you try to gather together, to get together. Otherwise you don't get together. You see some family, after they were born, they split and they move. Observing these precepts, they may develop in time samadhi and wisdom. Samadhi, probably you haven't learned yet, man. But samadhi is concentration, stopping and seeing. Remember that? Samadhi, if you have learned about that previously. This is the universal path of cultivation led down by the Buddha. Failing that, perhaps the sutra can awaken in the reader the compassionate ideals of the Bodhisattva, those true heirs of the Dharma, as they go about their silent work of rescuing sentient beings and cultivating the body-mind. The reason to attain Buddhahood for the benefit of all. That is, if you want to become Buddha, it's not for your own good, but for the good of all sentient beings. A disciple of the Buddha should always teach the Buddha's Sattva precepts to save and protect sentient beings. On the day his father, mother, and sibling dies, or on the anniversary of their death, he should invite Dharma Master to explain the Bodhisattva Sutta and precepts. This will generate merits and virtues and help the deceased either to achieve the birth in the pure lands and see the Buddha. Pure land does not mean Amitabha lands only. Any Buddha's land is pure land. Even this Saha world. Saha world belongs to Sakyamuni. Sakyamuni Buddha, it is pure land. If you want it to become pure, everything is in your mind. Or to secure a good rebirth in the human or celestial realms. May all sentient beings nurture the body mind and swiftly attain Buddhahood. It's a little bit late now, so we cannot follow them. But before we finish it, you will ask me, why should I have the Bodhisattva precept? Because I already have the five precepts, right? All Buddhism is supposed to have the five precepts. Either they are Mahayana, Hinayana, whatever yana. So why do I have to receive the Bodhisattva precept? Because just like I told you, first Mahayana, that is the great vehicle, is the real way of the future. And in fact, Buddhism, the reason Buddhism can spread all over the world nowadays, usually depend on Mahayana. Because Mahayana, the great vehicle, can adapt to everywhere. And we don't go against people. That is, you are Buddhist, but they invite you to a church to think, you can go, no problem. You say that, well, I cannot eat meat. But then if they invite you and they feed meat to you, eat them if you have to. Yeah, but that's against your will. You see that? You commit a sin only if you really want to do it. Intention. If you don't have intention, you don't commit any sin. You don't violate any precept. Remember that. To commit a violation, you have to have intention. even you know in the real world, like you know, if you drive a car and then you don't see anyone, you just commit crash in front of your car and you bump on them. Of course, the police will arrest you. But then you know they say that this is only like a fault. Sometimes they even you know release you because you cannot avoid it. You don't have intention to kill the other guy. But if you drive the car and then you see, hey, this guy is free, that's different, right? Intention is very important. So to commit a sin, you must have intention. And then, you know, whenever you have committed sin in Buddhism, it's easy for you. You just, you know, make it known. Don't hold it. Don't cover it. You see, yes, this is the fault. This is something wrong. I did it. You are living the right way. Very easy. But what I mean is that, well, you still understand. But you see, so you say that, but why should I receive all these 58 things? I'm already Buddhist. I have my Buddha name. I received the 5 precepts. So why should I? Because you see, like I just told you, Mahayana, the great vehicle is the way it is now. The monks might not exist with us anymore. And we have to learn from history. You see that? I just told you about Meiji, right? About Japanese Buddhism. For the whole like 50 or nearly 100 years, Buddhism died out in Japan. Not really die out, but then you know it was transformed into like weird things. The married monks, you know, with children and everything. So it wasn't against, you know, the precept of the Buddha. Because some people, you know, in the politics, that is, you know, in the government, want them to die out. So Buddhism, you know, has already died out in Afghanistan, Pakistan. They used to be big Buddhist countries. Iran used to be Buddhist also. You remember that? And now, you know, they die out completely. They even, you know, destroy, you know, whatever their ancestors built, like the statue in Bamiyan. So now, you know, we as Buddhists, you know, if you want Buddhism, you know, to be preserved, we have to take this step. Don't rely on the monk. Don't rely on other people. Now, I don't believe in anyone, but you see, remember Buddhism in India, even in India, which was the place of Buddhism. Buddhism died out in India. The monks, you know, have been killed. So if there was not like a lay people like us who maintain the Bodhisattva precepts, who maintain Buddhism, there will not be Buddhism in the future at all. Monastic Buddhism cannot exist in the United States. They cannot, you know, go and carry and ask for alms in the street in Jacksonville. Do you believe in it? They can show up, like, you know, in this month, you know, in California, once a year, okay, but they cannot do every day, right? The country is different, and the future will be different. So what is the difference? This is just compassion. You remember the Buddhist mind we just learned about? Whenever we receive this precept, what we want to do is just to develop our body mind. That is the bodhicitta. Attain Buddhahood and deliver all sentient beings. That's big word, right? It's not big. You can do it now. Hell or heaven is your choice. Remember, I just read something, you know, on the internet. You are on the web all the time, right? Have you heard this story yet? Probably not. But if you haven't heard, be quiet so we can say it out. Some guy, you know, he go on dying. And then, you know, he go to whatever, he come to heaven, he don't know. And then he see the gatekeeper, he meet with the gatekeeper. This is like a generic story for all religions. And then, Master, where am I? Say, I don't know yet. What did you do? Well, I don't remember if I do good things or bad things. So, can I have a peep to see if I can go to hell or heaven? And say, come here. And then he show him, there are two doors. He opened one door. He let him in. And then he see, oh, there's big table like this, like, you know, 10 meter of diameter, right? Round table. There's a kettle of soup, or food, something, food, right in the middle. And then there are a lot of people sitting around the table. Each one has a long spoon, like, you know, 5 meter, right? 5 meter spoon, strapped to their arm, strapped. right? Altogether. So they can scoop up some kind of food, right? But all of them, you know, are thin. They can't eat them. Because they try to scoop, and then they, when they cannot do it, spill all over. And so the food spill all over, and then the people are waste. It must shame. And the great people say that, well, what you see in hell. Then the guy said, so show me heaven. So the guy, you know, bring him to the other door, open the door, and he see inside. Same big table, 10 meters, right, with a kettle of soup in the middle, and a whole bunch of people, each one will have a 5 meter long spoon stuck to their arms. But then, you know, everyone, you know, is a plum, big fat like Dr. Duke, right, and happy. Say, huh? And he said, oh, I understand now. Because they scoop it, and then they feed to the other guy. Right? And the other guy scoop it and feed to the other guy. So everyone will become full. No food is spilled. And the gatekeeper say, see, this is the heaven. That's the story. Okay. Nguyện đem công đức này hướng về khắp tất cả đệ tử và chúng sinh đều chọn thành Phật.